Hello, my name is Alex Bankier and I'm deputy editor of Radiology responsible for thoracic imaging. On today's conversation, we welcome Dr. Claudia Henschke from Mount Sinai Hospital in New York and Dr. Herbert Kressel, editor-in-chief of Radiology. The topic of our today's conversation is lung cancer screening with CT. Dr. Kressel, may I kindly invite you to ask the first question.
Thanks, Alex. Claudia, I always wondered, how did you first get the idea to use CT for lung cancer screening?
Well, we had weekly thoracic oncology conferences, and in the early 90s, helical CT was being used, and more small pulmonary nodules were being presented, and nobody really knew on what basis to make recommendations. So we started having some research retreats and came up with the idea that we needed a database to really come up with recommendations. And then we realized we could really address CT screening for lung cancer at the same time.
So, Claudia, was this an idea that came out of radiology first, or were there pulmonologists or surgeons involved?
Well, at our thoracic conference, we always had thoracic surgeons, pulmonologists, pathologists, so it was a multidisciplinary conference. So it was multidisciplinary, but the radiologist took the lead in this case. So we had several conferences and invited experts from other fields, epidemiology including experts who had been involved, the statistician that had been involved in the prior screening studies in the 70s using chest x-ray, that was Dr. Flanger. And so we asked her to use her model that she had developed for screening to predict how good CT screening could be.
Huh. Claudia, did you think about the issue of false positives and what sort of a barrier might be when you initially got started?
Well, let me just talk about the modeling a little bit.
Sure.
She had modeled the those prior studies and found that chest x-ray, the detection rate was about 25%. And then we said, well, what if it were higher, like 80%? And we had her run that model, and it's actually published, her article is published in Chest. She predicted that we might have an 80% cure rate, which is pretty well where we are. The false positive was always an issue, and that's why from the very beginning when we started developing the protocol for this, we said you had to have a very carefully defined methodology for evaluating what was a positive and then what the workup should be.
Claudia, you told us a little bit about how your screening program started. Now, many years later, we have the results of the NLST study. Could you briefly comment on these results, and could you give us your view of what value these data have?
Well, let me start with our purpose and then get the NLST, which is a very important study and a very important result. Our approach at that time was very different from a randomized trial. We wanted to create a database on which and individualize the probability of diagnosing a lung cancer, the probability of surviving other competing causes of death, and the probability of cure. In fact, that was our specific aims in the NIH grant proposal that we received. So ours was really looking at curability of lung cancer when you detect it early. The traditional approach, which is the National Lung Screening Trial, a randomized study, is where you then randomize people into two different arms, in this case CT and chest x-ray, and you follow them forward to see how many are diagnosed with lung cancer and how many die of lung cancer. And we were very excited about the results, which showed that CT screening does reduce mortality from lung cancer in a significant way. That significant amount was 20%. So that's a very exciting result, and it answers the questions that people traditionally have asked.
Do you feel that your experience with the LCAP design is confirmed by the NLST results?
The short answer would be yes. We wanted to see initially with our study whether we can do it in a responsible fashion, that is to not to have too many unnecessary interventions, and how many people we could detect early. And the results of that, as published in The Lancet, really showed that over 80% could be found in stage one. And that did stimulate the consideration of the NLST. In fact, the NCI developers of the National Lung Screening Study came up and said that I should be very happy because that was the fastest time from a paper being published to a large national study being started that they had ever seen. So our approach helped stimulate that national lung screening study, and it did confirm that lung cancer reduces mortality. But we've always, in our study, not focused on the reduction of mortality. We focused on cure, because the probability of cure is kind of an absolute. It doesn't depend on the study design specifics. If you can find lung cancer at this size and at this stage, what is the probability of cure? And that has been our focus, and that's what we published in the New England Journal, which showed that it's about 80%. And that's continued to be the value that we've found even after 15 years of follow-up.
Claudia, I've always kind of been struck by the amount of controversy that particularly the efforts in lung cancer screening have had all the way along. Why do you think it's been so controversial? What do you think is driving the controversy here?
Well, I have asked myself that and many others, and in fact also discussed it with the with the editor of the New England Journal, and it seems that screening in general creates controversy because you're intervening in people who have no known disease. And so it's different from the usual medical care where you're responding to a person coming to you with some kind of symptom or sign of some disease. So it is a different way of thinking. And then there's always the cost considerations because by doing that, you are doing something to a large population of which only a few will have the disease. So I think intrinsically some people are just opposed to that, and then that's one part. And then the other part might be is how do you really study that? Mm-hmm. And the study design issues is something that is a constantly evolving aspect of medicine or of any kind of science. So the initial, initially we had randomized treatment trials, which really made a tremendous difference in the science of medicine. And then people started saying we should use randomization in screening trials. That controversy of how to study screening really started in the 70s and led to those three studies for chest X-ray. And these study design issues are complex. Screening is a complex thing to evaluate. And so I think controversy and discussion is good because it fleshes out the important aspects and it allows us to progress.
One of the things that I've noticed, and this is a sort of very personal view, and I admit that I'm certainly not an expert in this, but that I always felt that some of the controversy relates almost to a moral position that the hazards of smoking are well known and there's a lot of resources being expended to something that should be basically preventable. Do you think that's driving any of this?
Well, I think that's certainly a part, but look at breast cancer, the controversies for breast cancer.
Well, that's true. That's true.
What's interesting to me is that the one that there's no controversy about is cervical cancer screening, which never had a randomized trial.
Right.
So that one is kind of a given, and all the other ones have controversies. Now, interestingly to me is the lack of controversy about coronary artery calcifications. And I think it's a discipline where maybe the cardiologists are the ones doing the studies and also having the patient population, mm-hmm. and they just do what they think is best. Mm. know, and do whatever studies. So there's never been a randomized study on cardiac calcifications.
Right.
But it's being done all the time with much less controversy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think lung cancer has pulmonologists, thoracic surgeons, radiologists, oncologists, and there's and then it has exactly like you said, that additional component that you did it to yourself. But look, we do a lot of things to ourselves.
Yeah, I'm very well aware of that. It just seems to me that this is, and that's, I've never understood it, that a lot of the diseases that we all, our society suffers from, are in some level self-inflicted. But it's for this particular disease, for some, I can't understand, it just seemed like there's much more of a moral component, which is not really stated. So just sort of a personal observation. But having kind of been through these wars, looking back on the last 20 years, Claudia, what, if anything, would you have done differently in trying to establish CT screening for lung cancer?
Well, let me just think for a moment, because we really started with a new paradigm, and new paradigms always bring controversy in them. You know, just with, along with it. I think it's a paradigm that is a very useful one and that will become more and more established over time. So I don't mind the controversy about that part. Initially, we always reached out to individual institutions and invited everyone. For the initial one, we only had New York University, but then we expanded to have international collaboration throughout the world. We've had our conferences every 6 months, which I think is a very important component also and has allowed us to continue because we've developed an ever-growing core of individuals who have gotten into the details that you need to in assessing screening. And we've always reached out to individuals to help. In our initial conferences, we always had the NCI and the people who designed the NLSP also participated very vigorously in our initial conferences, and we invited them. I would have liked to have more collaboration with the national lung screening individuals, and I've reached out to them. But I think that's something that maybe inherently is not that easy to do. But I think that let's say societies like the RSNA and radiology and so on have always tried to be inclusive of the different opinions. I don't know what I would have done differently. I would have liked to have had more collaboration and more collaborative efforts, although I've been thrilled about the amount of kind of collaboration we've developed.
Claudia, lung cancer screening obviously is an international topic, and in fact, in our Radiology Select part of about screening, we have included a series of international contributions. You, in turn, have directed the international LCAP study. In what does the topic differ from country to country, and what can we learn from these international contributions to CT lung cancer screening?
Yes, it's a very good question, very interesting, because in Japan, people have been screening since the 1950s with chest X-ray and then CT scanning. So they're, and from age 40 on, smokers or never smokers. So they just want to know how to do it better, and they've been proceeding. And when I was invited to give talks in China and Taiwan and so on, and I started talking about the issues of study design, they said, no, no, we just want to know how to do it electronically or image processing better, and we want to know how to do it better. We believe in screening.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you come to other places where the attitudes are that you have to do a randomized trial in order to come up with the idea, in order to prove it. And then other places are, well, we'll see what other countries do, and in the meantime, we'll start screening. So there's a variety of attitudes. It depends on the local organization, the local institution, and it ranges from, you know, one end of the spectrum to the other.
So, mm-hmm. Claudia, would you say, if you were sort of drawing a color map of where it has the greatest penetration and acceptance that would be focused on Asia?
Well, not only Asia, because interestingly enough, Southern Europe is very, so the Italians, the Spanish, were very much embracing screening and wanting to evaluate it with different approaches. It's really the Northern European countries that were much more into wanting to have randomized trials. I think it's more of a function of how the medical system is set up in any particular country.
Good.
But I must say that the, you know, in the, like in Italy, you have different localities, and it's very much still by the region, and they have many regional differences, so you have different models that you that are used for evaluating any particular disease.
Based on all your experience to date, do you think there's any recommendations or things that we should do to try to reduce the so-called false positives on the first round of screening? Should we change the criteria or define the screening groups more tightly?
Well, I think that, first of all, the definitions of these terms have to be well spelled out. And I really don't, you know, a false positive is a bad term, I think, particularly in radiology, because I'm always explaining that when I see a nodule, that is a true nodule.
Yeah.
It's not that if I did a lung section or a pathology, God looked at it, there is a nodule there. So it's not a false positive, because the general public thinks, oh my goodness, they don't know how to read chest CT scans.
Yeah.
So it's really that there, for a lot of the controversy and the discussion to really be helpful, these terms have to be well spelled out. And a false positive should be somebody who goes through an algorithm and eventually ends up with surgery that is for benign disease and not for cancer.
Right.
And even the epidemiologist that originally was called into the NCI to discuss the results of the Lancet before they started on the National Lung Screening Study stated that. Number one, it's the terminology is important. Now, how to reduce that? I think we
just
can do a
clarify, Claudia, the false positives that I'm using the term that as it's been conventionally applied, are nodules that are detected in early screen that are not cancer and that may need further workup. And the concern, of course, is that you're having additional tests and worry for people who don't ultimately wind up having cancer. And the concern is there a way to reduce the number of people that are subjected to further follow-up exams and anxiety?
And absolutely, there are ways. For example, we can reduce them right now to below 10% on the baseline. And you do that simply by, at the moment, by size. By
mm-hmm.
size and type of nodule.
So what size should we be having as our cutoff on the initial screen currently?
Well, we're working on a paper where we're saying that it should maybe be as high as 7.
Okay.
7 millimeters for solid nodules. And we've looked at how many cancers do you therefore delay the diagnostic workup on, and it was... You have a marked, if you do that, you have a marked reduction in the number of people that require a workup, and you're only increasing it by, you're delaying the diagnosis by some 6 to 8 months for a very limited number or percentage of cancers. So we're working on a paper for that, and I think this is something that is going to keep improving. But to keep improving, we have to keep screening. So we need to keep producing data and screening in order to figure out how to keep doing it better.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a continuous process, because as the CT scanners get better, we have to keep changing our criteria.
Mm-hmm. What about
Claudia, going along the line of what you just said, to kind of wrap up what you said before, what practical recommendations would you give to someone who is about to start a lung cancer screening program today or tomorrow?
Well, we have many applications, for instance, that people that want to join us, and we say that, first of all, we still do it in a research setting, although now perhaps we could think, since the NLST results have come out, we could think of it in a practice setting. But you need to train radiologists. You need to have a program that allows you to make sure you call back the individuals that need to be called back. You need to have you have to have somebody who talks to the people who come and explains the risks and benefits and then follows up in order to not to create unnecessary anxiety and to do things that don't need to be done. So you need to have, just like in breast cancer, you need to have a whole program. You need to have guidelines as to what the standard minimum standards should be and what the optimal standards should be, and training of the people involved in the screening.
Do you think it's necessary to have a full multidisciplinary team involving chest physicians and surgeons as part of the program, or you think it can be done in a purely imaging setting?
I think you have to really do this. They don't all have to be in the same institution, but you have to do this in a multidisciplinary fashion, because as you find a nodule, the individuals are going to speak to other people, and you need to get the pulmonologist and the thoracic surgeons involved. They need to understand what early lung cancers look like and when not to intervene and when it's important to intervene. So you want to have a consensus building, kind of an ever-increasing consensus building and knowledge building within that community that you're working. So I think for example, we really require a multidisciplinary team in each of our sites that work together and that discuss the issues that come up.
Dr. Henschke, thank you very much for sharing your ideas and your views on lung cancer screening with CT. Dr. Kressel, thank you very much for your questions.
My pleasure.
Thank you and goodbye.